like to welcome everyone to the gospel meeting. Maybe we could open this evening by singing number 9.
Come every soul, my sin unbrands their turn.
Under 10 years old, have you ever asked yourself that question, do I have peace with God? Maybe you're a grandparent here tonight, and you've come to the gospel meeting many times before, and you've heard it
Do you have peace with God?
Tonight I'd like to speak about forgiveness. And I've just been impressed with this in our readings in Rio Ferry, and also just in my own meditations about the importance of forgiveness. You know, there's a verse, and it was quoted earlier today. It's in Isaiah 59, and it says, "Your sins have separated between you and your God." Maybe I'll just read it. You don't need to turn to it. It says there, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." You know, the only thing that can give you peace with God is to have assurance of the forgiveness of your sins, and have your sins forgiven through what the Lord Jesus did. And that's what I want to talk about this evening. Forgiveness specifically for sins. You know, forgiveness is something that we all can appreciate. Maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe the hotel didn't have this room quite ready. You know, we can forgive them for that, can't we? You know, there's a lot of marriages that are broken because of lack of forgiveness. You know, there's a lot of loss over maybe it's who gets the cottage or how the estate gets split up because of lack of forgiveness. And you know, sometimes it's very legitimate to be upset with someone. But tonight I want to consider God and me, and God and you. Because that has put a gulf between us that if it's not taken away, none of us can have peace and assurance that we'll be with them for all eternity. The first verse that I'd like to look at is, or first verses, it's in Exodus chapter 32. So I wanted to talk specifically about forgiveness from sins. You know, in Exodus 32, Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And just to back up a little bit, the children of Israel said to the Lord, "Whatever you do, we'll do it." God gave them the Ten Commandments, and we find out in this chapter, I'm going to talk about it a little bit later, that they just couldn't possibly keep it. To sin, as I understand it, I heard this through another person, it's a term that came from archery, to miss the mark. If that clock on the wall over there was a target and I was to take an arrow and shoot at it and I missed the mark, that would mean that I, where the term sin comes from. Well, God had given Moses these Ten Commandments written on a table of stone, and that was like the target. But you know, before Moses even got down from the mountain, they had broken the first and therefore all of the Ten Commandments. They had created a golden calf and they were worshiping it. You know, Moses was so upset, he took those Ten Commandments and he smashed them on the ground. And that's where I want to start. At the end of Exodus 32, Moses felt terrible about this. And he says in verse 30, he says, "It came to pass on the morrow," this is Exodus 32, verse 30, "that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord, peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go." And I'm just going to stop there. So Moses tried to intercede for the people here. And you know, Moses wasn't perfect either. But the Lord said here, it's a very remarkable statement. He says, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book." It shows the seriousness of sin. The seriousness of sin. You know, I'm a sinner. I'll readily acknowledge that. And you know, I think everyone in this room is a sinner. There's a verse that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another verse says, the wages of sin is death. This is a problem every single person here has. And we need the forgiveness. You know, I'd like to flip over, because the first thing I want to talk about is forgiveness in the Old Testament. You know, this was before Jesus had come. And you're going to find out he's the glorious theme, the one who is able to forgive sins. But let's just go over to Leviticus chapter 4. You know, in the Old Testament, and this was given to the children of Israel just after what we just read. You know, it's interesting. I just want to know what the common denominator in order to have forgiveness of sins was. And so I just like to read in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning the things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for sin offering. He shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle unto the congregation before the Lord, shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head, and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood, bring it the tabernacle of the congregation. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and shall sprinkle the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. So this is if a soul sinned, and it's referring here to a priest. But later on, I just want to read, in every one of these examples, if they sinned, they had to take an animal, the priest had to put his hand on the animal's head, and that sin was, the animal was killed, blood was shed, and then they would obtain forgiveness. Let's just look at the verse 13. It says, if the whole congregation of Israel sinned through ignorance, and the thing be hid from the eyes of the assembly that they have done whatsoever, somewhat against any of the commandments which the Lord concerning things which should not be done, are guilty. When the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, bring it before the tabernacle of the congregation. It goes on and talks about the blood being shed. And then it says in verse 20, the end of the verse, and it shall be forgiven them. If you flip over to verse 22, so that was talking about if the congregation sinned. It says, when a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance. And then again, there was an animal that had to die. His blood had to be shed. And then at the end of verse 26, it says, and it shall be forgiven him. And then in verse 27, it says, if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, and the blood had to be shed, an animal, it says at the end of verse 31, it shall be forgiven him. The chapter ends up with the same comment. You know, in every one of these cases, when they sin, this animal had to die, and the blood was to be shed. You know, I don't think the people from Israel knew why that had to happen. But that was how they had forgiveness of sins with God. Or forgiveness of sin. And this was not comprehensive. This was only if they accidentally sinned, or they sinned through ignorance, as it says in this chapter. It wasn't if they deliberately sinned. Well, you know, that's a little bit bleak, because if I look at my own life, I realize that there have been times when I have deliberately sinned. Deliberately sinned. And you know, I'm separated from God until my sins are forgiven. So I'd just like to read in the New Testament. I'd like to turn, so this was before the Lord Jesus was born. During the Lord's life, I'd like to read a couple accounts there. So if we turn over to Luke, so this was after the Lord Jesus was born. And you know, those people in Israel knew those verses in the Old Testament about forgiveness of sins. So I'd like to read in Luke chapter 5 and actually start at verse 16. Nice to get the context here. It says, "He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, of Judea, of Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before them. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, that they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of a palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, go into thy house. And immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Well, the Lord in his life brought to clarity something that is remarkable. And that was that he had the power to forgive sins. It explicitly says here, it says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. Here you had a tremendous crowd of people. You had people from Judea, Galilee, Jerusalem, all the towns around. You had the Pharisees, you had the doctors of the law. They were so crammed in a room, nobody else could fit in. And you had a man who was sick, seen because of sin. Let him down through the roof, and the Lord makes it clear he has the power to forgive sins. You know, that's a very important thing for us to think about today. Because if you did not feel comfortable to be alone with God, there is one person who can give you peace, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has power to forgive sins. And he let them know that here. He hadn't died yet, but he let them know that he had power to forgive sins. You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And I'd like to turn, this happens again a little bit later. Rob mentioned this earlier. We had it in our reading not too long ago in Real Ferry. This is in Luke chapter 7. Similar situation. I guess a little bit different. One of the Pharisees invites the Lord over for dinner. And someone comes who knows that they're separated from their God. Let's read the story. This is in Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, but thou gavest me no water for my feet. She hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. He saith unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Another remarkable story. Here you have this woman. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she was separated from God. She knew the Lord Jesus could forgive her. She comes, she weeps, she wences, she washes his feet. He wipes his feet with oil. And you know, he openly says that her sin would be forgiven. And he even talks to this Pharisee. And you know, that Pharisee needed to be forgiven too. Just as much as that lady. Neither of them, in the little story the Lord Jesus told, could pay the debt that they owed. And you know, I'm looking out tonight, you know, maybe there's somebody older here who doesn't really think they're that bad. Maybe they come to lots of gospel meetings. Maybe their kids are saved. Maybe there's a child here who their parents are saved. And they just don't think that they quite need it. You know, that's a very solemn position to be in. This Pharisee, Simon, he needed it just as badly as that lady. But you know, this lady, what happened? Her sins were forgiven. And it says that you can go in peace. Peace with her God. You can go in peace. She was in a better position than Simon after this whole visit. You know, it wasn't anything that she had done. It was what the Lord had done. The people sitting there realized in both of these stories, I think, because they knew what it took for sins to be forgiven. And that was the blood that was shed. And that sin offering would be made. And they recognized that it would have seemed almost blasphemous for the Lord to say he could forgive sins, but he was God himself in the flesh. And you know, it's beautiful to realize that. The Lord Jesus was pointing to himself as the one who could forgive sins. I'd like to turn over now to Luke 22. Continuing with during forgiveness of sins during the Lord's life. Sorry, Luke 23. You know, the Lord Jesus had the power to forgive sins, and he made it known to those who would, well, he made it known to everyone. There were only a few who really accepted it, but he knew that he would have to lay down his life and take the punishment for those sins himself. Anyone that was at peace with God. You know what's remarkable? The Lord was falsely accused. He was the only one who never missed the target that God had, God's standard. Never missed it. And you know, they took him and they crucified him. And you know, when he was on that cross, What does he say? And I just want to note this with regards to forgiveness. It says, verse 34 of Luke 23, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them." Here you have the only perfect person, and these people were treating him horribly. He was completely falsely accused. He was beaten to a pulp. He was going to be crucified. And yet, his heart went out to him. He said, "Father, forgive them." You know, I can't comprehend that. So, but the very one who could forgive sins makes this statement here. And you know, it's been said that it took it from murder to manslaughter. And you know, Israel has paid dearly for crucifying the Lord. No, we're all guilty of it. The Romans did it. Everyone did it. And he probably, the same thing would happen today. But you know, I just think of how the Lord Jesus had that heart of love toward sinners, even when he was in the middle of going to that cross. What does it say later in the chapter? It says, verse 44, "It was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent." You know, the sky went black. God punished the Lord Jesus for the sins of everyone who would put their trust in him. I can't comprehend what that was. You know, in the Old Testament, when there was those sacrifices were made, it was like a check that was written that was post-dated to the date when the Lord was going to lay down his life. Look forward to that day when the Lord Jesus would do in that cross. Tonight, the gospel, the whole purpose of this message is to tell you that there is forgiveness of sins through what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. You know, there was a man at the cross, and I'll just mention this briefly. But he knew that the Lord Jesus never missed the mark. He could say, just a few verses later, as he watched the Lord suffer and die and make those statements and the sun go dark, but as he said, "Now when the centurion," this is verse 47 of Luke 23, "when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man." Now he recognized, I think, this was not one of us who so often say we recognize this is the Son of God. You know, it's a remarkable thing. Well, I just want to go on. That was during the Lord's life. You know, the gospel hadn't really fully been understood by those at that point. The Lord made it clear that he could forgive sins. But you know, the Apostle Paul, he goes out to the whole, it used to be just to Israel, but the gospel went out to the whole world. And you know, it's a beautiful verse. I love this verse. It's in Acts 13. This is when the gospel goes out for the first time in Antioch of Pisidia, which is in Greece today, I guess. And Acts 13, verse 38. You know, Paul was so excited that he could go out with a message now that was different than anything that could have been preached earlier. And he says here in Acts 13, 38, he says, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." This message that we now have, as a result of the fact the Lord Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood, means that we can preach the forgiveness of sins, not just of those things that we do accidentally, but it says here, all that believe, that's anybody, are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the Lord. This is a blank check for the forgiveness of our sins. An incredible, incredible. It is free offering for us. That separation between us and God can be removed so that we can have peace with God. That is a tremendous, tremendous thing. If you turn over to Romans, when Paul is unfolding the gospel, Romans chapter 4, in verse 7, he recognized what a wonderful thing it was to have forgiveness and sins. And he says in Romans 4, verse 7, he says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is to the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, if we turn over to Ephesians just quickly. In Ephesians, we have all the wonderful things God has given those who have been forgiven. And what does he say there? He says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, this is very similar verses in Colossians, we'll refer to it. It says, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. So here now, after the Lord Jesus has died and risen again and gone to heaven, we have a message that Paul went and preached to the whole world about forgiveness of sins. And you know, it is a tremendous thing to know your sins forgiven. You know, all it takes is faith, trusting, finished work in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I hope that every man, woman, and child in this room has put their trust in the Lord Jesus. I can honestly say it is a wonderful thing to know I have peace with God. You know, I go to work and see a lot of people who don't have peace with God. You know, we go out and see a world that doesn't have peace with God. We can have peace with God. It is a tremendous, tremendous thing. You know, I'd like to just read one more verse in Psalm, or two more verses, one in Psalm 86, verse 5. The Lord is waiting. It says in Psalm 86, verse 5, for thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon. He is ready to forgive you. You know, he's ready. And he's waiting. Have you taken him up on that? It's like a gift. You know, we're going to be talking about this later. In Romans 5, it says, by one man sin entered into the world. That's what separated us from God. But it also says that by one man, the Lord, he has been able to resolve that. Go through that chapter. It's a beautiful chapter and explains that. You know, that is it. And the Lord is just waiting. He's waiting for the youngest child in this room. He's waiting for the oldest adult in this room who doesn't have peace with him to put their trust in him. I'd like to read another verse in 1 John. Again, a beautiful verse. 1 John 1, extremely well known. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from every sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, not only we confess our sins, is he faithful? He's also just to do it because our sins have been paid for, which again is a remarkable thing. Somebody else can't do it for me. Moses couldn't do it for the children of Israel because he wasn't sinless like the Lord. You know, you have all those beautiful verses in the Bible. Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, that will be saved. You know, we just confess to God that we are a sinner, that our sins have separated us from him, and that we believe that the Lord Jesus died for us. That is an incredible thing. And you know, I can't convey to you, you know in your heart where you stand, and you know
desire is to save you. You know, I hope everyone in this room has done that. We're going to close shortly. The implications of that are tremendous. You know, we now have access. Our sins are forgiven. We have peace with God in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. And God's very presence. Something that was impossible in the past. An incredible, incredible thing. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus, you'll be banned from His presence for all eternity. You know, it says in Revelation when it talks there, it says that there'll be nothing that comes into the Father. Sin is what has ruined this world. If we look around and we see the wars, cancer, and the fighting, and the society heading in a direction that is almost incomprehensible. You know, we can be thankful for what we have in this land, but the consequences of turning our back on God is tremendous. And here He has this wonderful offer to us. I hope that everyone here accepts it. You know, if we're believers, and we recognize, I'm not going to go into this tonight, but if you read God's forgiveness in Matthew 18, or verse B, kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven. We can grasp it in our heart, like that woman who was a sinner. It will change us in how we act towards other people. They'll see that something was different in life. I hope that everyone here tonight has accepted the Lord as their Savior and know that their sins are forgiven. Maybe we could just sing in closing number 10.
Savior on high in the glory and Savior to suffer on Calvary's tree. A Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty. stay.